number 101. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction, fantasy, and mythology podcast by Jake Jackson. This week sees the beginning of a series of tales from the mythologies of the world. The coming months will feature 10 tales each from Greek, Celtic, Indian, African, Oceanic, First Nation, American, Egyptian, Chinese, and Babylonian mythologies. Between them, they weave a story of the many civilizations of humankind, bringing together tales of origin that both echo and contradict each other according to the geography and the gathering of knowledge by the peoples of each tradition. The first set of 10 stories is from Norse mythology and based on the prose and poetic Eddas written in what we now know as Scandinavia and Iceland, just over 900 years ago, in the 1200s. But they themselves were probably based on ballads and fireside tales from the Viking Age, 600 years before that, around the time or a little after the fall of the Roman Empire. So let's move on to the first of these Norse myths, and we begin fittingly with the creation of the universe. In the beginning, before there was anything at all, there was a nothingness that stretched as far as there was space. There was no sand, nor sea, no waves, nor earth, nor heavens. And that space was a void that called to be filled, for its emptiness echoed with a deep and frozen silence. So it was that a land sprung up within that silence, and it took the place of half the universe. It was a land called Filheim, or Land of Fog, and where it ended sprung another land, where the air burned and blazed. This land was called Muspel. Where the regions met lay a great and profound void called Ginnungabap, and here a peaceful river flowed, softly spreading into the frosty depths of the void where it froze, layer upon layer, until it formed a fundament. And it was here the heat from Muspel licked at the cold of Filheim until the energy they created spawned the great frost giant Ymir. Ymir was the greatest and the first of all frost giants, and his part in the creation of the universe led the frost giants to believe that they should reign supreme on what he had made. Filheim had existed for many ages, long before our own earth was created. In the centre was a mighty fountain, and it was called Vergelmir, and from that great fountain all the rivers of the universe bubbled and stormed. There was another fountain called Elivagar, although some believe that it is the same fountain with a different name, and from this bubbled up a poisonous mass which hardened into black ice. Elivagar is the beginning of evil, for goodness can never be black. Muspel burned with eternal light, and her heat was guarded by the flame giant, Surtur, who lashed at the air with his great sabre, filling it with glittering sparks of pure heat. Surtur was the fiercest of the frost giants who would one day make Muspel their home. The word Muspel means home of the destroyers of the world, and that description is both frightening and accurate, because the fire giants were the most terrifying there were. On the other side of the slowly filling chasm, Filheim lay in perpetual darkness, bathed in mists which circled and spun until all was masked. Here, between these stark contrasts, Ymir grew, the personification of the frozen ocean, the product of chaos. Fire and ice met here, and it was these profound contrasts that created a phenomenon like no other, and this was life itself. In the chasm, another form was created by the frozen river, where the sparks of the Surtur's sabre caused the ice to drip and to thaw, and then, when they rested, allowed it to freeze once again. This form was Ord Humla, a cow who became known as the Nourisher. Her udders were swollen with rich, pure milk, and Ymir drank greedily from the four rivers which formed from them. Ord Humla was a vast creature, spreading across the space where the fire met the ice. Her legs were columns, and they held up the corners of space. Audhumla, the cow, also needed sustenance, and so she licked at the rhymestones which had formed from the crusted ice, and from these stones she drew salt from the depths of the earth. Audhumla licked continuously, and soon there appeared, under her thirsty tongue, the form of a god. On the first day there appeared hair, and on the second day, a head. On the third day the whole god was freed, and from the ice he stepped forth as Buri, the producer. Buri was beautiful. He had taken the golden flames of the fire, which had given him a warm gilded glow, and from the frost and the ice he had drawn a purity, a freshness that could never be matched. While Audhumla licked, Ymir slept, sated by the warmth of her milk. Under his arms, the perspiration formed a son and a daughter, and his feet produced a giant called Thrudjamir, an evil frost giant with six heads who went on to bear his own son, the giant Bergelmir, and these were the first of the race of frost giants. Buri himself had produced a son called Bor, which is another word for born, and as Buri and Bor became aware of the giants, an eternal battle was begun, one which to this day is waged in all parts of heaven and earth. For giants represent evil in its many forms, and gods represent all that is good. And on that fateful day, the fundamental conflict between them began, a cosmic battle that would create the world as we know it. Buri and Bor fought against the giants, but by the close of each day a stalemate existed. And so it was that Bor married the giantess Bestla, who was the daughter of Bolthorn, or the Thorn of Evil. Bestla was to give him three fine, strong sons, Odin, Vili, and Ve. And with the combined forces of these brave boys, Bor was able to destroy the great Ymir. As they slayed him, a tremendous flood burst forth from his body, covering the earth and all the evil beings who inhabited it with his rich red blood. And now the tale of the creation of the earth. Ymir's body was carried by Odin and his brothers to Ginnungagap, where it was placed in the centre. His flesh became the earth, and his skeleton the rocky crags which dipped and soared. From the soil sprang dwarves, spontaneously, and they would soon be put to work. Ymir's teeth and shards of broken bones became the rocks and pits covering the earth, and his blood was clear to become the seas and the waters that flowed across the land. The three sons of Bor worked hard on the body of Ymir. His vast size meant that even a day's work would alter the corpse only slightly. Ymir's skull became the sky, and at each cardinal point of the compass was placed a dwarf, whose supreme job it was to support it. These dwarfs were Nordri, Sudri, Ostri, and Westri, and it was from these brave and sturdy dwarfs that the terms north, south, east, and west were born. Ymir's hair created trees and bushes. The brow of Ymir became walls that would protect the gods from all evil creatures, and at the very centre of these brows was Midgard, or Middle Garden, where humans could live safely. Now, almost all of the giants had fallen with the death of Ymir, drowned by his surging blood. All that is except Bergelmir, who escaped in a boat with his wife and sought asylum at the edge of the world. Here he created a new world, Jotunheim, or the home of the giants, where he set about the creation of a whole new breed of giants who would carry on his evil deeds. Odin and his brothers had not yet completed their work. As the earth took on its present form, they slaved at Ymir's corpse to create greater and finer things. Ymir's brains were thrust into the skies to become clouds, and in order to light this new world, they secured the sparks from Sutra's sabre and dotted them amongst the clouds. The finest sparks put to one side, and they studded the heavenly vault with them. They became like glittering stars in the darkness. The stars were given positions. Some were told to pass forwards and then back again into the heavens. This provided the seasons, which were duly recorded. The brightest of the remaining stars were joined together to become the sun and the moon, and they were sent out into the darkness in gleaming gold chariots. The chariots were drawn by Avakr, the early waker, and Alsvin, the rapid goer, two magnificent white horses under whom were placed balls of cool air, which had been trapped in great white skins. A shield was placed before the sun so that her rays would not harm the milky hides of the steeds as they travelled into the darkness. Although the moon and the sun had now been created, and they were sent out on their chariots, there was still no distinction between day and night. But that is a story all of its own. So that's the story of how the Vikings saw the beginnings of their world. Next week, we'll move on to Odin and Frigga in Asgard, followed in future weeks by stories of Thor, Heimdall, Loki, and of course, Ragnarok. This is Jake Jackson. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time. Goodbye.